It's always a joy to come here. There you go. It's always a joy. I wish you could see your face when you sing. It's full of joy, and it's great. I love the young people up here. They are getting better and better and more confident as they sing. And that's such an encouragement to see the growth and of individuals. I go to a lot of churches, and when you're in a church, you really don't see the growth. Does that make sense? Because you're just growing with it. But if you're gone for a week or two, or you come back after a month and you go, wow, this has changed, this is different. Sometimes we need to think about reflection. And what I want to do today, I want us to look at a scripture passage, and I want us to think about who writes this letter and what he's thinking about. The letter is in Ephesians, and we're going to look at chapter 2, 11 through 22. So if you'll turn your Bibles to that, that would be great. Paul is in prison. And he has been walking as a Christian for 30 plus years. Anybody here been walking with Christ more than 30 years? Yeah. All right. And so there's people who've been walking a long time. Do you ever stop and look and think about where you were 30 years ago? Where do you ever take a reflection and stock of what has happened since you came to know Christ? Do you ever think about where you'd be if you didn't come to know Christ? Yeah, that's me too. I would not want to be that person. But I want us to think, and think as you can, about what it is to be a Christian and what Paul is looking for. Because as we unwrap this story, I want you to see Paul through this. So beginning in verse 11 of chapter 2, it says, "Therefore remember the formerly you were Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcised, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember the time when you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and you were separated from Christ, excluded from of Israel, foreigners to a covenant of promise, without hope, without God in this world." Wow. Think through this. Go back to your life before you knew Christ. You were no knowledge of him, right? And you look at all these guys who's going to church, it's crazy. I did. I had better things to do on Sundays. And you look at all these, and you start thinking about where you were and what your life could have been. But because of who you are in Christ Jesus, you have been changed. Paul says that you were lost. You did not know God. You were Gentiles. Now, let's think about Paul for a moment. He was taught at an early age to hate Gentiles. You ever thought about that? He was taught that they are second-class citizens. And he was taught that Pharisees and Jews and the Sadducees were first-class citizens. And first-class citizens have nothing to do with second-class citizens. And sort of like the iron curtain, the iron raw, or whatever, there was a wall between them that was impenetrable. Sort of like North Korea and South Korea today. There is a wall there. And so Paul is very specifically saying, you are on the other side of the wall. You did not know God. You didn't know anything about the covenant. You were totally in darkness. Now, if we were to stop that sermon right there, would you find that uplifting? I wouldn't. Because I remember the guy who was there. But notice what he says next. He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, who were once far away, has brought near through the blood of Christ. It is through his blood that you and I are now partakers of eternal life, and that we have been adopted into the God of, in God's family. You and I, who name the name of Christ, are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a lot of summer missionaries come up, and some of them are very sharp, and they're going to make some money as they grow up and get in the field. You know what I ask them? I ask them if they'd be willing to adopt me. Why would I want to be adopted by them? I want part of their inheritance, right? I want them to adopt me and take care of me in my old age. They laugh at me. We're not adopting you. You're over 60. You're not going to be good. But God adopts us, and he gives us full right as his sons and his daughters. You ever think about what we have? Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to, in chapter 7, if you don't mark in your Bible, I want you to kind of mark this. Let's go to verse 5. It says, he predestined us as adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance to our own pleasure. Is that what that says? Our own pleasure? No. Whose pleasure? His pleasure. Okay? He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance to the pleasure and will. To praise be the God, the glory, grace, which he freely gives us in one, and it gives in the one he loved. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of God's grace. When my Bible says he lavishes on us with all wisdom and understanding. Do you ever feel like you deserve to be loved by God? But what God does, he lavishes. I love that term. When you think of lavish, what is that? It's like, for me, it'd be in a peach tree eating peaches, you know, just like lavishing with peaches, you know. Or lavishing, what would that look like in your world? But what it says, God says he lavishes on us. Do we deserve his lavishness? No, we don't. Sometimes we need to look at God, look at ourselves through God's eyes. Because many times we're looking at our own selves through our own eyes and we see our blemishes. But when God looks at us, he sees his son, Jesus Christ, perfect. Does that make sense? Where's your eyes? Is it on your internal side trying to fix you? Or you're looking to the Father, and he changes you from within. And you know what? You really do not know you've been changed as the changing occurs. It's only in a matter of weeks or months or years when you say, you know, if that would have happened 10 years ago, I would have reacted this way. I must be growing up. I must be doing something different. As you're seeing this, you've got to understand that he loves us so much. I'm going to get sorry about this. And notice in verse 14, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, he himself is our peace, who made two one and destroyed the barriers and dividing walls of hostility by abolishing in his flesh, the laws and commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new person out of two, thus making peace. Think about this. I've got to walk, okay? Now think about this. Here is a Pharisee, Jewish man, who had doctorates behind his name, he was the perfect Pharisee, Sadducee, Pharisee, okay? He was perfect. He did all the best schooling. He went to Harvard or he went to MIT. He did all this stuff. And he looked down on everybody else. And he persecuted the church. Because he knew that at this point, the theology of the Jewish, what he was trained was superior to the Gentiles. And this guy named Jesus showed up. And things started happening different, and it just went crazy in Saul's head at that point. And he set out to destroy what Jesus was building. So here's a godly man out destroying what Jesus has put in place because it didn't fit in his preview. On the road to Damascus, Jesus spoke to Paul. You know the story very well. It changed him. He was blinded. And he went and tried, and they presented him and said, you know, this is, his life was totally changed because he says, who are you? And he says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And the guy who went to set him free, to open his eyes, was told by God that he is the one who's going to suffer much for Jesus and for his purposes. Now then, with that in mind, you are finding him in a prison in Rome writing this. And he's saying to you, I was this man here, and you guys were here. Because of who Jesus Christ, I am a new creature. There is no more dividing line between us and them. Because of who Jesus Christ is, I am a new creature. Do you ever feel like a new creature? Yes? No? Yeah. When you feel like a new creature, can you see people who are walking in darkness? They have no insight of what they're doing. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been given a gift of seeing the lostness. Does that make sense? You know the difference between right and wrong. You're living life like it's right. You don't live like you used to. You've been changed. That's the barrier that God broke down. He brought us into a relationship with him, and he changed us. And what God is looking for today is a third culture. And you're that third culture. You've been given the privilege to see lostness And you've been given the privilege to see light. In every day of our life, we have to make a choice. Does that make sense? When I first became a Christian, let's say this was a doorway. I came to know Christ, and I stood right here. You understand this, don't you? And you can hear what's going on the back side of this door. There was a door here. And they almost pulled, like, I want to go back. But as you start walking and as you get mature in your faith, you don't hear those voices as much. There is a murmur back there. But guys, you're feeding the Spirit of God, and God's feeding you, and you're seeing the joy. When Paul is about to be arrested or about to be, the Spirit of God spoke to him and says, get ready. Spirit of God said to him, you're going to Rome and you're going to be a testify for me. He knew as he walked along the road that God was with him every step of the way. And in Africa right now, there's a movement of God. In China, there's a movement of God. They are experiencing a relationship with a living Jesus Christ in a way that you and I sometime will never know because we're not experiencing persecution. Okay? Guys, what Paul is saying here, he has been shipwrecked, he has been beaten, now if this happened to me, let me just tell you, to be honest with you, if I was shipwrecked and beaten more time and stoned in Iconia, do you think I'd follow Jesus? I didn't. I didn't want to say, is it worth the cost? It is worth the cost. And so when Paul's sitting in this, and he's writing to these people, to the Ephesus, and he's saying to them, listen, you have been lavished in God's love. You have been taken care of. God wants us to know him. He says he came and he preached peace to those who are far away, the Gentiles, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by the Spirit. Verse 19. Consequently, we are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Christ himself being the cornerstone. Guys, who is the cornerstone of this church? Jesus Christ. Some of you are going to accept some changes, right? Some changes happen next week, I think. Do you know those changes can become a dividing line? Are you aware of that? If you're immature as a Christian, it will become a dividing line. But if you're mature, it will become an opportunity. Are you aware of that? Here's what they say about church growth. Just throw this out for you. It takes 3 feet for every person. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one guy here I hear knows how to measure feet in his head, and he can tell you whether it's 3 feet or 2 feet. He's good at what he does. I have no idea. But if we take 200 people and 3 feet per, we need a lot of space. And so a quick solution, two services. Why would we go to two services? To make more room. Now hold that thought. when you give chores to your children, you want the job done, right? Amen. All right. But is that the main reason you give them to them? What is the main reason? Responsibility. Do the kids know they're teaching? You're teaching them responsibility?
They don't even like it.
They don't like it. That's absolutely true. But you're teaching them responsibility, and they don't even know it in one day, right? One day they'll say, wow, I'm glad, Mom and Dad, I'm glad you taught me responsibility. One day. Maybe never, but I don't know. Depends, okay? I was reflecting there for a moment, but so we have this thought that God is creating something here, and can I be honest with you? It's not about church. Okay? Because I want you to see this other piece here, verse 21. It says, in him, and let me back up, Christ is a cornerstone. So in the middle of this church, I'm glad you're sitting on the front row. In the middle of this church is this cornerstone. Christ is a center. And he's building. Where are the blocks he's building with? He's building with the prophets. You know, Paul, you got to think about this. This is first generation Christians he's talking to. There's nobody behind them. And so when he looks at them and he says to them, my hope is in you. So you're building. What he's doing, he's building. And where is he getting the building stuff? You and you and you. So you think you're coming to church. Just like the kids are thinking they're doing chores, but you know in their head you are teaching them responsibility. And God is saying to you, do you not understand that you are now building a temple? This building is nothing but scaffolding. Because God is building an eternal church. And he's taken you and me, and we are become the building blocks. Peter says this in 1 Peter. He says that you and I are building blocks. We are the living stones, and God is creating. So when you have space, you can invite other people. Not to church, but ask them if they want to be adopted. Do you know anybody out there who's struggling with life and you have already been adopted? You know the light? And you say, well, let me evangelize to you, okay? Well, I may say, what's your name?
I'm Pete.
Pete? Pete, how would you like to be adopted? Pete would go, what? But think about it. What would it look like if you had more space? Could you adopt more people? And who is he going to adopt through? You. Think through this. You are building a kingdom. Christ in you is building a world church, a temple. He's bringing people from all over the world, and they are building a heavenly temple. And we think we're just doing church. Well, God has a greater thing. So as you're thinking this, you say, well, we're just doing church. No. He is making living stones out of you. He is honing you. He is shaping you to invite others to know him, to be adopted in his family. What would happen if Bean's Corner started running 600 Has anybody thought about that? No, we're still struggling with two or three, right?
Yeah.
But is this not God's will?
Sure is.
Is it not God's will that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth him shall... And do you know that we live in a state that's only 3% evangelical? Think about how many Christian friends you have around you. What an opportunity we have. And it's not to become church members. It's about coming and being adopted into God's family. To be lavished on. See, if we would step back a little bit, Saul knew all this as a Jewish leader. Took a lot of pride in this. And so unless you were Jew, you didn't really appreciate the covenants and all that stuff. So you can imagine the stretch that it was for Paul to say, okay, this is what I thought that God's will was, but yet he wants to bring the Gentiles and the Jewish people together to form a new people. Not built by law, not out of ignorance. Both of them were working in pride. But the dividing law became Jesus, the dividing wall became dissolved because Jesus laid his life down on the cross. Does this happen in church? Yeah, we have walls all the time. Does it happen in marriages? Yeah. Do you know where you live out your Christianity? It's not out in the world. You live it in your marriage. You know, when you surrender Jesus, you have to surrender your pride. Is that not true? My wife and I, bless her heart, she's a sweetheart. What? I'm not going there. But, yeah, smart man. If it wasn't for Christ being the center, that Christ, his desire and his mission for our lives, we probably wouldn't struggle, okay? There could be dividing lines in my marriage, but because we put Christ first, we really want the best. And so as you're thinking through this, Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and he's saying there is the dividing line, but yet Christ wants more than that. He wants one person, a new people, who understand that they are not here for themselves, but for the kingdom of God. Notice what it says in this last verse, and we'll quit. In him, the whole building is joined together, raised to become the holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become the dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, we thought we were just doing church, right? We're doing far more things under the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I stand here and I watch you guys sing, the joy, I see this being played out in you. I see the joy and love for one another. I said this before, and I'll tell you again, this is probably one of the friendliest churches I know. and it's sincere. I'm seeing Christ in you. Not only here, but in the community. So give honor and glory in God. Because he's about what? He's building his holy temple. And guys, he's using you. And he's using me. Not to be prideful. But because he lavishes love on us. And that's who we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're going and that we understand your word. We understand that Ephesians chapter 1 talks that you and I have, that we have been sealed. We have your stamp, not a stamp of approval, but a stamp that's saying we belong to Jesus Christ. And we have been adopted into his family. And the God I know wants others to be adopted. And who can adopt better than those who call the name of Jesus Christ, who was already in the family? And we can say, hey, you know, you're welcome to do it your way, but I really want you to be adopted into God's family. Let me show you the way. Let me tell you about my walk with Christ. As a 35-year-old walking in Christ, as a 6-year-old walking in Christ, as we reflect, we see the changes. We have a relationship with him. And it's more than church. It's a personal relationship. And Jesus is saying to us, please share that relationship with others. You're willing to tell people where the best bargains are in town, the cheapest gas. But are you willing to tell them where they can be loved and love lavished on them? As we go from this place, Lord, we sing our final hymn. We are walking into a mission field. And there's people out there who need to know you, who need to be invited into God's family. Will you create in us that spirit of boldness? To share what it feels like to be out of darkness and delight of having no family into having a family and belonging to a God that will never, ever kick us out, but to love us forever through his Son, Jesus Christ. And empowered by the Holy Spirit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate that. Pretty much a perfect message as we go into the changes next week and beyond. If you'll stand with us this morning, we're going to sing one more hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be.